You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today I have two segments. One will be on Harry Reid. And the reason why I'm highlighting Harry Reid, he's the Senate Majority Leader. And he's been designated by President Obama to negotiate with the Republican Party, namely the House, to come up with really reopening about 15% of the government. We have a total of 85% of the government is really open. You might get the impression that everything's shut down. That's truly not the case. You have over 4 million, both military and civilian employees in the federal government. Only a little over 800,000 have been designated as non-essential employees. So you can do the math. That's roughly 20%. But when you come right down to it, it's a little less than 20%. It's somewhere between 15 to 17% of the employees. And what that means is most of the government is open. So you get the impression, listening to the television, the sky is falling. And I call it FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And the media is in on this with their countdown clocks, how many days the government has been closed. The government hasn't been closed. It's been open for business. Only non-essential employees and a small part of the federal government are actually closed. The sky is not falling, and for most American people, they don't really deal with the federal government. The biggest interface they have is primarily the U.S. Post Office, which is open for business, even though the business has been going down and down and down, because fewer and fewer people are using the mails. They're using email. They're getting their news and information online. So guess what? The business of the post office has gone down, and who needs the post office? If you need to ship a package, most people today will use either UPS or Federal Express. They have alternatives. We've had advances in technology that really have made using the mails greatly obsolete. And that's why the post office keeps having to jack up rates, because they have a decline in their business. And that's probably the number one government agency, the U.S. Postal Service, that Americans have most interaction with. They're getting their mail, and it's very simple. The post office relies on people putting postage on their mail. So they're getting revenue and they're spending it. And the service has actually gone down. It's gotten more expensive and the service has gone down. What I mean by that, a lot of places you don't have Saturday deliveries anymore, except for priority type packages. And when I want to mail a package, I typically use UPS or Federal Express. It depends on what I'm trying to mail. And that, I think, is most businesses today, not all, but most businesses today use. So it's no big deal. Even if the U.S. Postal Service was closed down, there are more than enough alternatives. You know, you can pick up your cell phone to communicate. You don't need to write a letter. You can literally pick up your cell phone that most people carry around, or you can use a landline. And even landlines, more and more people are not even having landlines. They're using their cell phone as their phone, because the cell phone has a built-in answering machine. That's probably the number one service. Now, there are a lot of people that are dependent upon the government, and primarily for Social Security checks, which most people will, well, you'll receive it during the month. But the president made clear, even though he's been a little inconsistent on this, people will get their Social Security checks. And most people are expecting their Social Security check this week. I'm not panicking. And even doctors that get Medicare benefits, they treat patients, the doctors are getting their checks. And there's a point I need to emphasize, because I've seen so much misleading, and I think at first I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. The more I look into it, the media, especially the three major television networks, are really misleading the people. I just before this show, I read an article prepared by someone working at CBS Money Watch, and I found some major errors in it, and I'll go over it in a minute. But you would think that the people are panicking over the government being closed. I'm not. You know, the armed forces are being paid, and that's really because the Republicans in the House passed a bill. And then the Senate and the President went along with it, because the last thing they wanted to be accused of is not paying the people that are fighting abroad. It was political. It was strictly politics. So you have roughly 85% of the government is open today, and only a small percentage is closed. And that's why you have these so-called non-essential employees that are home on really a paid vacation, because this is what really aggravates me. Last show, I was indicating that these people, as far as I'm concerned, shouldn't be paid. If you don't work, you shouldn't be paid. That's what happens in most of the private sector. You know, it's like the laundry. No ticky, no laundry, no work, no pay. Across the world, but in the United States in the private sector, that's the way it works. Now, there's some large corporations that have certain number of sick days that you can take and get paid for. But most small and medium-sized businesses can't afford that. So if you work, you get paid. If you don't work, you don't get paid. But what did our Congress do? They passed a bill, and I'm not surprised about this. I knew it was going to happen, that once there's a continuing resolution in place, or a budget, it'll be a continuing resolution, that all these furloughed employees, over 800,000, will get paid for the days they were on furlough. So they get paid for sitting home and doing nothing. Isn't that sweet? And our Congress, the majority, both the Republicans and Democrats, voted for that. I'm appalled by that, because guess what? That's our money. You're giving people, whether I know it's an involuntary days off, but they're getting paid for doing nothing. And they shouldn't be. They should not be. But yet our Congress, aren't they just generous with our money, our tax money? They're going to make sure that all those people that have been sitting home for a week get paid when they come back, get back paid. Isn't that nice? No, it's not nice. It's terrible. It sends the wrong message, and I'm disgusted about it. Because we could save about a little over $2 billion. I did a rough back-of-the-envelope calculation. For every day the federal employees are not working, the savings, if we didn't pay them, would be over $2 billion. My estimate, about $2.2 billion. I could be off, but call it $2 billion. So in a week, we could have saved $14 billion. It's adding up. But instead, what are we going to be doing? We're going to pay all those furloughed employees over $14 billion when they come back, assuming it ends tomorrow. It's not going to end tomorrow, and I'll tell you why. I don't know when it's going to end. I think it'll be very, very soon, and I'll tell you why. People have been asking me. I said, I really don't know. If they were smart, they would end it tomorrow. Most likely, my take now is it's probably going to be sometime after the middle of October, and I'll get into why. So one of the things that, you know, that's really aggravating, that Congress You see, the bureaucrats come first. You know, they don't really fear the American people, but they really do feel those, they're afraid of those bureaucrats because they make the government run, and you better pay them or else. Someone needs in Congress and the Senate and the House needs to stand up for this. Because I think we have a double standard. If you work for the government, you gotta pay them even if they work or don't. You gotta pay them. You must. Even though, what are they doing? And this really, really is annoying. President Obama and his administration are trying to make the shutdown as painful as possible. And the way they're doing this is shutting down the national parks and the monuments in Washington, D.C. And what's disgusting about it, you have World War II veterans that probably their last time in Washington, D.C., that are flown in on special flights, and they're being denied access to the World War II memorial, which is really on a public thoroughfare. But what did the parks, and they're just following orders. I'm not blaming the Park Service for doing this, because they're following orders of their bosses. They are putting up barriers, so it makes it difficult, if not impossible, for those people to visit the monuments. And keep in mind, this is not it's affecting not only World War II veterans, but anyone that's on a vacation. They're coming to Washington and find all the public monuments shut. I think that's a disgrace in and of itself, because this is playing politics. And the media is playing this up. They're playing this up, that all the monuments are closed, and it's the seventh day, going on the seventh day, that the government has been closed. Woe is me, woe is me. All these people are not getting paid. Well, they're going to get paid. And you've been misleading the American people, and you knew it. You knew it, because this is not the first time the government has been shut down. Since the mid-70s, this is the 18th time. And it's usually for just a few days, a couple of weeks at most. And the furloughed employees get paid, as do the people working. We had Harry Reid saying, remember when that lady got shot and killed last week? Well, the people that were the Capitol Police, these are the people actually working, the essential people that were working, are not being paid. Well, that was a lie, a blatant lie. They were being paid. They're essential employees on duty defending the Capitol, and they're being paid. And one thing that still concerns me, and I probably forgot to mention this, why did they have to shoot that lady? Why? I'm not saying they don't have the legal authority to. Yes, they did, because that lady was using her car in a way that could be described as a weapon. But why didn't they shoot out the tires? That was what I could not understand. You had five cops, at least five cops, police officers, surrounding the car, and none of them shot out the tires. And none of them even made an attempt to open the door and pull the woman out. Remember, the woman was not firing. She didn't have a weapon. She had her small child in the car, but she didn't have a weapon. You couldn't shoot the tires out? You couldn't open the door and pull the woman out? Yeah, I think what happened is the Capitol Police panicked. And when one of them fired the weapons, they all fired and they killed the lady. Now, I understand that when you're in this situation, you're stressed and you're not thinking necessarily straight. But there's a higher standard for police officers. They need to think this through. They need to be trained. And I think the police officers way overreacted. They shot to kill and they were successful, and someone gave the order or approval to do that. But there's been no investigation. Have you seen many videos? Remember, Washington, in any public place today, there are a lot of video cameras, both in public offices, as on the inside and the outside, as well as along the road, the street that she went from the White House to, I think it was Pennsylvania Avenue. From the White House, she went to the Capitol, and then she circled around, and they ultimately killed her on the perimeter of the Capitol. I don't think she needed to be shot. There were several opportunities to shoot the tires out as well as pull her out of the car. No, instead, they just let loose and a person has died that really had a mental problem. She was mentally disturbed. You know, it would be a different situation if someone was firing back. She didn't have a weapon. She didn't have one weapon on her. And even if she did, she wasn't using it. Yet our police felt justified to kill her. And they had all the firing that you heard on those videotapes was the Capitol Police shooting at her. They panicked. And I'm a great supporter of the police, but you have to be objective. They panicked. Cut to the chase. They panicked, and whoever was commanding them panicked. And they killed somebody. They killed somebody. I hope they sleep well at night. I wouldn't. I'd feel guilty as hell. Because her baby, or toddler of, 15, 16 months, whatever the age was, now doesn't have a mother. And her family doesn't have her. There are a lot of people out there that have mental problems and need to be treated. They don't need to be shot. And I needed to say that because I forgot about that during the when this was happening last week. Because that's what really disturbed me. I looked at that video, and what really stuck to my mind, there was one point she was stopped and surrounded by police. They're all pointing their weapon at her. No one had the presence of shooting out the tires. And maybe there's a reason. I don't know what the reason would be, but if you disable those tires, one or more, it makes it difficult, not impossible, but very difficult for her to drive away. But that's what she did. And they subsequently, a couple of minutes later, shot her dead. And all the politicians are praising the Capitol Police. Everyone was running scared into the building. Now, I understand you don't know what's going on. You don't know the situation. You're hearing sirens, and then you're hearing shots. So, yeah, if I was near the Capitol building, I would be concerned. I would go try to get in the Capitol building or go to another place. And that's what was happening. People were running. But I expect that the police officers that are responsible for the security of the people in the Capitol building have some restraint. And I fully understand, technically, it's a clean, what the cops would call a clean shooting, because she did use her car technically as a weapon. And that happened. And you don't know what her intentions were. But did you have to shoot her? That's my question. And where's the investigation? I don't see any follow-up news. We've learned a lot about the woman, but very little news or video as to a timeline as to what exactly happened. And that needs to be investigated, because I don't want the Capitol Police to overreact. And I think that's what they did. They panicked and they overreacted and they killed somebody. I don't want them spring-loaded like that to shoot. Now, it's an entirely different situation if the person was firing their weapon. Then I would say it's completely justified. But there was no weapon. There was no weapon. The shots you heard were police shooting at her. Now, getting back to Harry Reid, that was kind of my addendum to that last week's story that I forgot a couple of times. I really was going to cover it Friday. And then I said, whoops, I forgot. Now, Harry Reid is the Senate Majority Leader. And he's basically told the Republicans, I'm not going to negotiate. I'm not going to negotiate at all. What he's saying is, the only thing that the Democratic Party and the president will accept is a so-called clean continuing resolution. In other words, continue to fund the federal government at existing levels. No negotiations. Isn't that big of him? Isn't that leadership by the Senate Majority Leader and the president? They're digging in there. We're not going to negotiate. How dare they? How dare they not negotiate? This is the same individual that leads the Senate and couldn't put a budget together for 4 years, four fiscal years. That's their attitude. That's their arrogance. They don't seem to understand the urgency of the fiscal mess that Washington, D.C. is in. They don't. You cannot continue to run these massive deficits of 1.4, 1.3, 1.3, 1.1. Looks like $900 billion this year. Average $1.2 trillion over 5 years. $1.2 trillion. That's $1,200 billion. Average. You can't keep doing it. They think they can. And they're burdening our children and our great-grandchildren. And they're hurting the Americans that are living today. You see, what happened is the Democratic Party in 2006 won the House and the Senate. And then in 2008, they won the presidency. So what did they do starting in fiscal year 2007, 8, 9, and 10? They pulled out all the stops and went on a spending spree. And that led to deficits where the government outlays spending exceeded total tax revenues by over $1 trillion. And it'll be near $1 trillion this year that just ended, 2013. We'll know Thursday if the report is out on time. I hope it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is this, and you need to focus in on this like a laser beam. The problem is government spending. We don't have a revenue problem. We're bringing in just the last fiscal year. We will have brought in over $2.6 trillion of taxes. That's the highest it's ever been. It's over $2 trillion. It's 2.6. It might be a little even higher than that. I don't know. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. But see, what the Democrats did, especially starting in 2009, fiscal year 9, 10, and 11, they had a stimulus package, and they increased the budgets of all departments on average of about 25%. And I'm ballparking that. You have massive increases across the board in department budgets and on top of that, this so-called stimulus package, which was a combination of tax cuts as well as spending increases. And what that did is ballooned up government spending in the 3.5, 3.6, 7, 8 range. That's trillion. And remember, the economy was in a recession. And that's what their advisors, their Keynesian economists, were recommending. Oh, the government has to step in with stimulus money and spend. Well, where does this money come from? It comes from the private sector. In our tax dollars. And when the government doesn't have enough tax revenues, it borrows the money. And that's what we've been doing. On average, about one out of every $3 that the government is spending has to be borrowed. Now, it's going to vary from year to year. Actually, it's been higher than that. It's got up to over 40%. Of every dollar we were spending had to be borrowed. Now it's about one-third. We can't live with, that's living way beyond your means, and it's not doing it for an emergency for 1 year. It's doing it for 5 years, going on 6 years. And see, that's not what is being talked about on television. It's all who is to blame for the shutdown. Who is to blame for not raising the debt ceiling? And let me make very clear, the federal government is not going to default on their debt. Let me say it again, for those that are hard of hearing and don't understand the numbers, the federal government will not default on the debt. Why do I say that? I put on, for those that are new to the show, the way do you listen to my show, you go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And I mention that because at the very top you'll have links to past shows. And once this show is over, I'll edit it this evening and probably have it up for your listening pleasure whenever you had liked, hopefully by about 9:45 tonight at the latest. If I have some problems, then it might be the early in the morning. Now, why am I telling you that? I always include a lot of information when I'm preparing the show. I don't put everything on, but it could be cartoons, it could be YouTube videos, articles, charts, you name it. Well, one of the things on one of the segments, it's the second segment, and I've done this for the last couple of shows, I put on the latest available MTS, the monthly treasury statement put out by the United States Treasury Department. And it gives the month by month how much the government has collected in taxes, that's total taxes, and then how much the government has spent by month, as well as what are the deficits and the surpluses. And the average, I sort of did a calculation for, we have the information through August. In other words, the September report, which came out on the 8th business day of September, gave us the information through August. And this Thursday, we should be getting the numbers through September 30th, which is the end of the fiscal year. But for the 11 months, if you just do a simple average of what the tax collections were, and I was ballparking it. I said there on average is about $200 billion a month. It's really closer to $225 billion. $225 billion per month. That's cash. That's money coming in to the Treasury Department. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Also in that report, you have the total interest that the federal government has paid by month. By month. What they do is they give you, by department and by major agencies, how much the federal government spends. And one of the big expenditures for the Treasury is interest. Well, the average for the first 11 months of fiscal year 2013 was a little less than $35 billion, less than $35 billion. I'm keeping it simple by giving you $35 billion. So why do I say the federal government will not default? If you're collecting $225 billion and you have to pay out of interest of $35 billion, this is an average monthly. It's going to vary up and down. Guess what? You have more than enough taxes coming in to pay the interest. Hello? I've heard it from both Republicans, Democrats, politicians, talk show radio hosts that frankly are lazy. They don't do their homework. That's a polite way of saying they don't know what they're talking about. There's no way, no way the federal government is going to default. That's absolutely the last thing they would do. Absolutely the last thing. The first thing they will pay is the interest on the debt. Why do I say that? If they didn't do that, yes, bad things will happen. One is the interest rate in the future, if ever the United States defaults. And let me say this, we're fast running down that road. Because why today, currently, about $35 billion a month is needed to service the debt. That will quickly rise to twice, three times that. And then it's going to become a big concern. That's why I always say, When that debt time bomb explodes and interest rates go back up, which they will, definitely will, what is going to happen? More and more of the federal expenditures will be eaten up by interest. That's why you have to deal with this problem. Because what the Federal Reserve has done for the last 5 years, starting in December of 2008, they kept interest rates, the federal fund rates, very, very low. They have compressed or suppressed the interest rates. They kept the Fed rate at 25 basis points or 0.25%. The average is over 5%. You see what I'm trying to say? When interest rates, and they will go up and become market-driven again, they're not market-driven now. We really have this outdated command and control attitude of the Fed that they know better than the American people and markets what the interest rate should be. Everyone that follows this knows that if the Treasury interest rates that they would have to pay on their securities were market driven, they would be 2 to 3 percentages higher. So we had historic lows in terms of the interest rate that the Treasury Department has had to pay. And the only reason that's the case is because the Federal Reserve has massively intervened in the money markets and kept the interest rates deliberately low to keep the cost of operating the federal government low. But that's not going to last much longer, especially we've already had 5 years on average of over $1 trillion. And I think we're heading for a sixth year. But this game is playing up. And what the Republicans are trying to do is the operative word. They frankly have not been very successful at this. They're trying to use the raising of the ceiling on the national debt as leverage to get the Democratic Party, led by Harry Reid in the Senate as well as the President, to the negotiating table and try to cut the federal budget, which will be probably around 3.6, 3.7. It could even go as high as $3.8 trillion this year. We have to start cutting that down significantly. When I mean significantly, we have a gap currently of somewhere between 900 and 1,000 billion. In other words, that's the extent, rough order of magnitude, of the deficit. On average, we've been running for 5 years over $1 trillion. We have to make significant cuts. And significant is hundreds of billions of dollars. The Democratic Party is totally opposed to that, totally opposed to it. They don't want to cut at all. They actually want to increase the budgets to over $4 trillion. They don't seem to understand that the game is up. When you have to routinely finance a third of all your expenditures year after year after year, you can't do that as an individual. You can't do that as a family, a business, a charity, a county, you name it. You can't do it. Only the federal in the entire world, only the federal government can do it. And it has limits as to to the extent it can do it. And we're fastly running out of room. The president and the Democrats have to face up to the problem. They have to cut the budget, and they simply won't do it. They will not do it. They will take the United States down, the economy down, to make their point. They're ruining this country. That's why we've had such high unemployment rates. And we're on the brink of a recession. We're overdue for another recession, and it's going to be bad. Why? We now have run 5 going on 6 years of huge, massively huge deficits. And I think over 6 years, it'll still be over $1 trillion. because I and see, I'm not, I don't want to let the Republicans off easy. They're not my heroes either. Not they're not doing the heavy lifting here. Now, the only reason they're digging in their feet, I'll tell you why. Because their constituency, their base, including the Tea Party, including conservatives, including libertarians, including fiscal conservatives, are demanding. They're not asking. They're demanding for fiscal responsibility. And that means real cuts in the budget. None of this baseline nonsense. Oh, we've cut the budget baseline by $1 trillion over 10 years. And they never cut it. When you look at what they do up front, it's less than $100 billion. We need to balance the budget today, you would need to cut roughly $1 trillion. It's $1,000 billion. $1,000 billion. Nobody in the Republican Party is suggesting that. The best is Rand Paul, which came up with roughly half that for 1 year. What needs to be done, and you need two to tango on this, because the Senate is controlled, at least for another year and a couple of months, by the Democratic Party. You can't get anything through the Senate. You know, for 4 years, they didn't put a budget together. And even when they put a budget together, they're so far apart that it can't be reconciled. We do truly have irreconcilable differences. That's why we have gridlock. The problem is it's getting worse, worse in ways. The central problem today facing the United States and in the economy is government spending is simply out of control. Out of control. And taxes, more taxes won't solve it. Because there have been plenty of studies that under high rates, low rates, you name it, on average, the federal government collects about 18% of GDP. And that's over decades. So you're not going to be able to increase tax revenues by increasing the rates. Yeah, you can increase the rates, but you won't get the revenues. And that's something the president has real difficulty understanding that. Economists understand it's the elasticity. Yeah, you can raise the price, but you raise the price of something, or in this case, raise the taxes, what do people do? They're not going to pay you any more taxes. They're going to organize their affairs so they don't pay more taxes. That's why historically up 18% is a very good approximation of the total revenues that the federal government can take out of the U.S. economy. Now, when the economy is in a recession, which it was starting in December of 2007, lasting through June of 2009, what happened? Tax revenues fall. When people aren't working, guess what? They don't pay income taxes and don't pay payroll taxes, and then it falls below 18%. It falls below 8, and that's what was happening. But we're now, the recovery started in July of 2009. So that's 10, 11, 12, 13. We're now in the fifth year of the so-called recovery. It's been the worst recovery post-World War II recovery. And actually, it's the worst recovery since the Great Depression. And as a result, we've had very, very high unemployment rates. Over 7% every month President Obama has been in office. And as a result, tax revenues are down. If we had a prosperous, booming economy where the unemployment rates were between 3 and 4% and the economy were growing at 4, 5, 6%, what would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. Tax revenues would go up, probably to as high as maybe $3 trillion. But that's not going to happen. You're dreaming if you think that's going to happen. We are very, very close. I think we're literally on the tipping point of going into another major recession. And if that happens, and I think it will, what's going to happen in terms of the unemployment rates? They're going to go up. And what's going to happen in terms of tax revenues? They're going to go down. And what's persistently high and a total unwillingness on the part of the Democratic Party to reduce federal spending. Now, the Republicans, they don't push it much either. I think anything less than, I would say, $300 billion a year for 3 years, if you're not proposing that, then you're not doing any heavy lifting. You know, this nonsense of a less than $100 billion savings in 1 year, well, that's nice. I mean, that's some improvement. But at that rate, it would take you 10 years to balance, and that's exactly the problem. You don't have 10 years. There are people suffering today in America. They can't find jobs, and it's the biggest people being the most people being affected are the young, without a doubt, without a doubt. Your high school and your college graduates and dropouts that try to find a job can't find it. There are millions of people unemployed, over 20 million. Forget about the government statistics. They're biased, folks. They want to put a good spin on it, but it is spin. And the unemployment rate is really over 14% because they don't count discouraged workers. If they did, it would be it's over 14%. I forget the exact number. We'll find out when the government comes back. And the government is going to come back to work. You know, the 15 or 16 or 17% of the government that's closed, they're going to come back, and they're going to get paid. They're going to have a big payday, a big blowout. So for a couple of weeks, they have to live on their savings or maybe dig into their retirement plan or rely on their spouse's salary if they don't work, both work for the government. And then they're going to spend their money. See, that's why Congress passed this. We can't have them not get paid. That would reduce spending, and that could hurt the economy. So we'll pay them for doing nothing. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? No, it's not nice. I think it's criminal. I think it's disgusting. If you don't work, you shouldn't get paid. And listen, it was your choice to work for the federal government. And if the federal government can't get its act together, and it can't, it can't. We've had a whole year, more than a year, for both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party to squarely address this situation. But it takes two to tango. And the Democratic Party does not want to negotiate. They want to increase spending. If you want to increase spending, you don't go to a meeting where the purpose of the meeting is to cut spending. I understand what Senator Reid is doing. I understand what President Obama is about. I understand what the Democratic Party is about. They're trying to shift the blame to the Republicans, as and their allies on television networks are supporting them. But what is not being talked about? What's not being talked about, I just talked about for the last 20 minutes. The fact that we're spending way too much money. I'll put in perspective. Government spending, the whole budget, is broken into two major categories. So-called mandatory spending and discretionary spending. Now, what's mandatory spending? Interest on the debt. You got to pay the debt. It's mandatory spend. It's not optional. You got to pay the interest. Social Security is mandatory spending. So is Medicare. So is Medicaid. And interest. And let me go. I think I have a chart on this. I might be wrong. I have a video on this that really shows, trying to think which the title of it. Yes. What can we cut to balance the budget? And it really breaks this down. And it lists what, think of it this way. Mandatory spending consists of three groups. Entitlements, so this is Social Security, Medicare, interest, as well as other mandatory is another category. Now, that is roughly, and I'm just giving you a approximation here, that's about two-thirds. It's going to, again, it's going to vary from month to month, year to year, but that's about two-thirds of the entire budget falls in that category. Now, what did I not mention? One of the biggies, defense, as well as all the other departments. All of that is discretionary spending. About a third is discretionary spending. And the big chunk of that is defense spending. That in total, discretionary spending, including defense, is approximately a third of total spending. Now, recall the point. We have enough tax revenues today, roughly, to pay for mandatory spending, but we don't have enough tax revenues to pay for the entire rest of the federal government, so-called discretionary spending. All your federal departments, all your agencies and major programs, all of that is discretionary, and that's roughly a third. See the problem? We're living way beyond our means. You should have all tax revenues covering all spending. Not two-thirds, all spending. And we've been doing this now for over 5 years. Over 5 years. And at one time, it was hitting 40%. It had to be borrowed. Now it's slightly less than 35%. Roughly about a third has to be financed, which means debt. So to pay the bills, the government has to issue more debt. It has to. It's just simple math here, folks. And that is an excellent video, although it's somewhat dated. He's using the 2011 budget, which is actually worse than the 2013 because we have more revenues in 2013. Again, as the economy recovers, what happens? You get more tax revenues in. But that's a two-edged sword. Should we go in a recession, that will quickly reverse. We need to be talking about, and this video makes the point, what is the purpose of the federal government? What is the purposes of the federal government? Or the role of the federal government? And there's no silver bullet. There's no one thing you can do to fix the problem. This is a huge problem, and that's why I say, and people look at me funny, you're going to have to close 8 of the federal departments and significantly cut the budgets of the rest. Why do I say that? Just to cover mandatory spending, which most people would say should be paid. I think there's probably over 95% agreement among the American people. Yes, you should pay the interest on the debt. Yes, you should pay Social Security. Yes, you should pay Medicaid. And yes, you should pay things like food stamps or supplemental, you know, welfare payments, so-called other mandatory spending. Everyone would say that, or nearly everyone. But the problem is, what about the rest? What about the Department of Defense? Because that's the lion's share is in the Department of Defense in terms of discretionary spending. They get today roughly 19% of the total budget goes to defense. But in terms of discretionary spending, they're way over half. They're about 60-70% of discretionary spending is in the Defense Department. So one of the departments I definitely think, and I think most Americans would say we need, I would say we definitely need a defense department. We need an armed forces to defend the country against the bad guys. We need it. But that department is going to also have to tighten its belt. There needs to be cuts in budgets across the board of those departments that remain in business. And many of these departments, the majority of them, need to be permanently shut down. You know, agriculture, transportation, interior, energy, education, commerce, labor. And see, some of these departments, in terms of the headcounts and the budgets, relative to the whole, are actually small. But all of these add up. Now, that's what I say the first thing you need to do is to permanently close many of those departments, I say eight, maybe even more, and downsize the existing departments. That's step number one. But that will not get you down or equal to your total tax revenues. The big drivers of these deficits are entitlement programs and welfare programs. Entitlement programs are Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. And of those three, the two that are the big drivers are Medicare and Medicaid. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the government likes to say, well, really, the biggest increases have been in the medical industry. That's why we need Obamacare. Yeah, there have been huge increases in what the American people spend on medical care. I agree with it. But where have been the huge increases? It's in government. Immensely. It's like it's grown since the 50s about 9,000% versus, I think, about 7,000% in terms of medicine. And the video gets into that. There are several videos by an economist that really does an excellent job. And I recommend you listen to all of them, because he really lays it out and puts it in perspective. The problem is out of control spending, government spending. I call it SAD, for spending addiction disorder. We have two political parties now for decades have been spending beyond the means of the American people. But the big increases started under Bush and continued at even a worse pace under Obama. And it needs to stop. And the Republicans are saying, stop. My problem with them, they do understand there's a big problem that needs to be addressed. They're not real. They don't have the urgency. They're not dramatically decreasing the size and the scope of the federal government. Because when they were in power, they were just as bad. They were big spenders. You know, I don't think the magic answer is, okay, we'll elect a Republican Senate, a Republican House, a Republican President, and then all our problems will go away. Well, if the past is any indication of the future, I seriously doubt it. Because they went on a spending spree under Bush as well. I need to put it in a historical context. There was a period from roughly the late 40s to the early 70s, and I'll put a little timeline, roughly between 1948 and 1972, the U.S. economy was booming, was growing, was very prosperous. We had very, very low unemployment rates. We had high profit rates. The U.S. was prosperous, it was good times. We had high economic growth, low unemployment, wages were going up, and that was for roughly 25 years. Something happened, and suddenly the profit rates were less than half, the unemployment rates went up, the recessions were longer, the economy was definitely growing at a less of a rate. What happened? And there's a lag. The Vietnam War happened. The war in poverty happened. Medicare happened. And suddenly, government was growing. And what was shrinking? The resources in the private sector. And as a result, growth rates went down. Unemployment rates went up. And this lasted into the 80s. And we had both Democratic and Republican presidents. LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, followed by Nixon, followed by Ford, followed by Carter. They were all what I call bigs, big interventionist government status. And they really grew the federal government under both parties. And what happened? The private sector, the goose that lays the golden eggs, stopped laying a lot of the eggs. Profit rates plummeted. Investment plummeted. You see, you need not only consumption, you need investment. Because the more investment or capital accumulation you have, plant and equipment, inventories, vehicles. You need that to grow an economy. That's what we had for that 25-year period of high growth rates from roughly the late 40s until the early 70s. Then we had a period of much lower growth rates. And what plummeted? Investment plummeted. Savings plummeted. And unemployment shot up. Why? We grew government. That's what the American people voted for. We grew and had bigger and bigger and bigger government. The burdens of government went up. And it wasn't reversed until Ronald Reagan came in. The problem there was he still had to deal with the Democratic Congress. And we had a period for a while of growth. And then what happened? George Bush got elected. We had 9/11. We had a war in Afghanistan, which I agree with, and Iraq, which I'm still on the fence on. And it continued with President Obama. We also had under Bush an expansion of entitlements, namely the Medicare drug benefit. And what we've had under Obama? Expansion of entitlements, namely Obamacare, or the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act. And what has happened? History repeats itself, ladies and gentlemen. You grow government, you allocate more and more of the economy's resources to government, and what invariably happens, it's not just in the United States, but it is abroad as well. Economic growth rates go down, unemployment goes up, and investment in capital accumulation goes down. You just have so many resources. Resources are scarce, and they need to be allocated. And when more and more of the resources are allocated to the government in either entitlement programs or welfare programs or in defense, there's less resources to be allocated to the private sector, where most, if not all, of your jobs are created by small and medium-sized businesses. They get squeezed. They get squeezed with more taxes, more debt, and now the printing or the creation of the money. And we have literally two political parties that have grown government. It happened in the Republican Party in the Bush years, and it's happened in spades in President Obama's first and continuing to the second term. It needs to stop. The Republicans are finally waking up. Their problem is they don't really have a sense of urgency. They're not listening to their constituency. They're starting to. They're really getting fearful. Why? They're about to. I've said this on past shows. The fastest growing political affiliation in the United States today is independents, because people are leaving both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party because they've had it with both parties. The American people, they might not be able to tell you the numbers like I can, but they know, they have a sense that government has just gotten too huge. It's become a drag. It's burdening future generations, our young, our children, our grandchildren. Future is a lot less optimistic. And this burden, this debt burden, and the tip of it is just the national debt. I haven't spoken with about unfunded liabilities for Medicare and Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. If you add those unfunded liabilities, it's over $100 trillion and growing. Government has overpromised. Government has gotten way out of control, large, but the core problem is spending. It's not taxes. It's not the debt. It's not the deficits. You get huge deficits because you're spending too much money. And the huge deficits result in huge increases in the debt. It's not a deficit problem per se, nor is it a debt problem per se. The problem is Government spending is out of control. We have a spending problem. Government is the problem. Government is causing these terrible economic conditions. Economic policies have consequences. And the consequences today is we have tens of millions of people that are either unemployed or underemployed. As government has gotten bigger and bigger, and the Democratic parties would like to make it even larger. As far as I'm concerned, they're fiscally insane. They're mad. They're rabid. They need to be put down at the election box and voted out of office. And so do a lot of the Republicans. Remember, I'm an independent. I could care less about the Republican Party or Democratic Party, with one exception. They are ruining this country. They have made this country into a warfare, welfare state. And that's not a country I want to live in. I want to live in a peace and prosperity economy. And I'm sick and tired of the demagogues in the Democratic Party calling people like me anarchist. I'm for limited government, Mr. Reed. Limited government. Not, you call me an extremist? For 4 years, you couldn't put a budget together? How dare you? You're incompetent. I think you're nuts. I'm amazed Nevada citizens voted you in. They must be nuts. And if they're paying for it by business being down, guess what? They have no one to blame but themselves reelecting you. Because you're ruining this country. You and the Democratic Party, the big interventionist government. The answer to everything is more governments, another government program, more and more government spending. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked in this country or any country where it's been tried. Keynesian economics is a disaster. Is a disaster. And that is your answer to everything. We need more and more government spending. That's the answer. What the American people are demanding are more and more jobs. What American people are demanding is higher and higher economic growth rates so we can get those jobs. And what's your answer? More government spending? And we can't cut any more from the federal government? Well, I could see why. For 4 years, you've been stonewalling the American people. The jig is up. The American people are waking up. And we'll throw Democrats out of office as well as Republicans. I don't care if they're there in the House or the Senate or in the White House. You've lost credibility. And all you're trying to do by saying, I won't negotiate, you won't sit at the table because you don't want to cut anything. And the press and the television and the major media are letting you get away with it. And they're going to pay a price. You know what their price is going to be? They're going to be out of a job. The jig is up on them, too, because I don't watch them anymore. I watch what I want by going online, including news. I don't watch major newscast anymore. Why? I don't believe you. I listen to either YouTube clips of newscast and articles where you generally either are totally incompetent or you're intentionally misleading and lying to the American people and getting them scared about a so-called default on the debt that's never going to happen. It could happen in 20 years or 10. But it's never going to happen now. And it's very simple. Look at the Treasury report, the monthly Treasury statement. And I have the numbers there. You could look it up. It takes about 3 minutes. And you'll come to the same conclusion I did. The federal government doesn't have a revenue problem. They have tons of revenues. An average of $225 billion per month. That's enough to fund the entire federal government if you had balanced budgets. And the problem is, year in, year out, Republicans or Democrats, where they control the House or the Senate, unbalanced budgets, bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. The game's over. The party's over. The American people are pounding the table. Stop, stop, stop spending. Both parties have a bad habit, a very bad habit that's affecting the entire population of the of America. It's affecting everybody. Shame on them. You're spending too much. You have an addiction problem. Just as people have that are alcoholics, can't quit smoking because they're addicted to it, can't quit drugs, whether it's heroin, cocaine, marijuana, have a problem with obesity because they can't stop eating and start exercising. And I'm guilty of that one. I'll admit it. I need to stop eating and exercise more. But when your first step to correcting a problem is admit you have a problem, and the Democratic Party can't admit that because they were big time implicated in all those entitlement programs and all those welfare programs. And the only way we can save this country from economic ruin is to cut them because they're the major drivers. But you're also going to have to close other departments, 8 to 10. Boy, the fireworks will start when that happens. You see, we don't have leadership in Washington, D.C. We have a bunch of followers. They're not the ruling elite. That's a joke. They're corrupt, bought and paid for politicians that could care less about the general welfare of the United States. If this is representation, I don't want it. Because what we have today is bought and paid politicians that answer to their masters, whether it's the financial sector, your big bank holding companies, whether it's the unions, whether it's attorneys and their big corporations. Those financial interests there make the huge contributions to the campaigns of both Democratic and Republican politicians. That's why I say they're bought and paid for. They are. They don't listen to us. I know it. That's why I'm calling for and will continue to call for the creation of another third party, call it the Independent Party, that is principled. And one of its key principles will be fiscal responsibility. Living within the means of the American public, which means every budget is balanced. Now that is a starting point, but you need to balance it at the revenues that you collect. And the problem is, again, that would be a major milestone. That would solve probably half the problems. But the other half is the level of government spending. It's entirely way too high. This didn't happen overnight. It's really been going on since 1930. And you can make a case that really started in World War I. But starting from 1930 through today, what has happened? Government has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And with the exception of a few periods, the economic growth of the United States has gone down, and more of the American people have become deliberately dependent upon the federal government. The federal government at one time was less than 3% of the GDP, or gross domestic product. Today, as I speak, it's over 7 times that. It's over 21%. It actually was hitting, it almost hit 25%. It's a slightly down. But what did I say early in the show? Look at the last 50 or 60 years. What have been the tax collections from everyone with high rates, low rates, and rates in between? Around 18%. That's all the American people can afford. And as a direct result of that, when it's above that, what have we had? We've had these massive deficits, which means more and more debt. We're over $17 trillion. Over $17 trillion. That's the gross debt. That includes not only the public debt, but what government aid, what the Treasury owes other government organizations such as Social Security and Medicare. The government is out of control. Spending is out of control. And I'm not buying what our media is saying. They're not focusing in on this at all. Instead, it's sob stories about the furloughed government workers. Our poor bureaucrats. They have to stay home. Isn't that terrible? Yeah, they're staying home, and when they come back, they're going to get a nice little paycheck. Isn't that nice? No, it's not nice. They shouldn't get a cent. Hey, they were non-essential. I didn't make them non-essential. The departments have said, you're essential and you're non-essential. Well, if they're non-essential, that tells me you probably could do away with them. And again, I'm not recommending that. But we do need a dramatic decrease in the budgets of every department, every agency, and permanently closing them in fundamental reforms. That is the only way you're ever going to get close to a balanced budget. You can't do it overnight, but you can do it in 4 years. And I really think you could do it in 3. But you're going to have to elect politicians that first understand the problem and admit the problem and know it needs to be corrected, that know deep down that what we're saying is responsible. I take offense when a Harry Reid or a Pelosi calls me an anarchist or an arsonist or a terrorist or an extremist. When I see what they have done to the country, to the economy, to the American people, to their own children and grandchildren and future generations, and the massive burden of debt that they put on them, I'm not an extremist. They are an extremist. They're mad. They're fiscally insane. As far as I'm concerned, they're evil. This is immoral what they're doing. They're injuring future generations. How dare they do that? And how dare do we let them get away with it? That's what's disturbing. Look in the mirror, America. You have only you to blame. You fell for Obamacare. Now you're finding out you were lied to. You were lied to. You gave them a second term with high unemployment rates that are continuing to be high. When he was running for the first time, he said, I will cut the deficit in half. And he was against raising the national debt ceiling. What has he done? He's nearly tripled the deficits. Nearly tripled. And in 4 years, he's had more deficits and more debt added than George Bush did in 8. I'm not happy with what Bush did and the Republicans did for their 8 years, but I'm really unhappy with what President Obama and the Democratic Party has done to this country. They're ruining it, and it's up to the American people to stop them. And you're not going to stop them until you vote them out of office. And that equally applies to Republicans that are not willing to be leaders on these issues. You know, I was surprised at Boehner this Sunday actually digging in his heels. It's about time, John. What happened? Did your children point out the implications of your policies? How you're hurting future generations? It's about time to start cutting and stop trying to mislead the American people. We have a leadership deficit in this country, and it extends to both political parties. We're looking for a younger generation, whether it's a Ted Cruz, a Rand Paul, a Mike Lee, and they're the shining lights, if you will. There is still some hope. And the independents in this country, and that includes the Tea Party, but not everyone is in the... I have been a member of the conservative movement since Goldwater. I don't vote based on whether they have a D or an R after their name. I want to know what their political philosophy is. I want to know not only how they talk, but how they walk. what bills they support. And what I've seen, unfortunately, with the Republican Party, they like to talk conservative, but when you look at the budgets, and that's what you have to do, they don't balance them either. We need to get rid of those Republicans. And rid in the sense we primary them, we challenge them in the primaries, hopefully we win and then get rid of them. And in the sense of, I'm not talking anything violent here, I'm talking you vote them out of office. I'm for peaceful change. But you need to start first even waking up and understanding the problem, then you need to get active. I'm active by presenting this broadcast that I put out as a podcast. You need to get active because I don't know your strengths. I don't know what assets you have, what your skills are, what your financial situation is. You need to get involved. And a major step is to start a new political party. And that's going to take, listen, there is no one candidate, there's no one election that's going to solve these problems. We have the size of the problems are so large that it's going to take a new party, a new principled party, the starting point being fiscal responsibility, controlling, reining in, dramatically cutting federal spending. But that's the first step. It's not going to happen in 2 years. It's not going to happen in 4, 10, or 20. This problem is taken since 1930 through today. That's 83 years going on 84. And it's getting worse, worse, and worse. Yes, we've had periods of peace and prosperity, but the big negatives have been followed by periods of war and a great expansions of government that simply cannot, they're not sustainable. That's, I don't particularly care for that word, but it does apply. We don't have the economic resources today to support such a large government. We have a highly leveraged government. That's a fancy word for a lot of debt, and it's just getting bigger. And we have a Democratic Party that says, we refuse to negotiate. They're denying the problem. They actually want to make it worse. I think they want to collapse this United States. I don't call them incompetent. I call them very deliberate, and they're succeeding. So it's about time that the House Speaker dig in his heels.
You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD.